tonight you'll say she's happy. He must be happy. He must be happy. He must be happy in his world.
Welcome back to another episode of Off Topic Radio.
Yes, we are back, Carl.
Once a week.
Just for like, anywhere from 2.5 to 3 hours. Huh?
There you go. How you doing, Aaron?
Doing good, Carl. I'm doing pretty good.
You know it's funny because you and I used to talk all the time, like daily, and then the novelty of that kind of wore off, and now we really only spend concentrated time when we're doing the show.
I think we talk a few times a week.
Yeah, but it's not like it. You know, there was a newness when we first. You know, it's like any like any love affair. You know what I mean? It was a certain newness to it. But now it's like I look forward to Wednesday nights because I get to spend more time with you. You know, we get to hang out and bullshit and stuff like that. So
yeah, that's true. You know, the honeymoon period wore off.
That's it. That's it. But we're still together. We're toughing it out. All right. So anyway,
it's funny. Yeah. So. I guess this is like our opportunity to bullshit and catch up for the week, huh?
Yeah, exactly. What did you do? What did I do? And what did the audience do? That's the really important thing.
Right. Well, I'll tell you one thing I did do is I've been sticking to the diet.
You look great. Your pictures on Facebook are amazing. You really
cut out. I got a full disclosure, Carl. I have to admit that about after the coming home from Junior Nationals, I guess about a little less than 2 weeks ago, I cut out all of the going out to eat.
Is it because you really think that, okay, was it the food that you had available to you when you went out to eat? Do you really think there's something different about when they cook food in a restaurant?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't necessarily believe that. It's just that I was going out and having a variety of different foods. And like, for example, the Chipotle burrito, originally I thought that it was better for me than it ended up being. You know, when somebody put the nutritional facts on there, just the burrito itself had like 20 grams of fat in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, like little stuff like that. And then, you know, when you get a steak cooked out, you know, you tell them dry, no butter, but you really don't know, you know?
Well, you know what I really hate about getting steaks cooked out, especially like Outback? They put all this seasoning on it, and that seasoning is just loaded with MSG. And a lot of times I'll say, when I go out to have a steak, I'll say, especially like steakhouses, like Texas Roadhouse and those, I'll say, look, tell the chef I don't want any seasoning on the steak. But the problem
is, MSG bother you?
What's that? No. It's you don't. I just don't want it. I don't want all that salt in my body. I mean, you know, I don't want all that extra sodium.
Well, I do want that salt, so it's okay for me.
Okay, well, that's different. But I mean, but the problem with that is that even though they may not put it on your steak, it's on the grill, and it always ends up getting on your steak anyway. So it doesn't really matter.
Right. Well, just some of the things that I have been eating, you know, when I go out to eat, like for example, when I go to Denny's, you know, I get egg whites, but a lot of times I'll taste the butter or oil that they cook it on, you know?
Yeah.
Like if they don't clean out the pan or whatever, then they have bacon grease and stuff in the pan.
Right.
So just like stuff like that. So, you know, I've changed to some rather unorthodox meals. PJ Braun, I tell him what I eat and he still laughs because, you know, most bodybuilders, like I'm doing like a pound of cottage cheese and pineapples for breakfast.
I don't understand what's wrong with that because of the fruit, the pineapple.
I don't know. It's just unorthodox. I'm doing, and the dairy. I'm doing, you know, egg whites and I make like, egg white sandwiches, you know?
Right.
Egg white sandwiches with fat-free cheese. He thinks the fat-free cheese is funny.
Right.
You know, like there's no need for fat-free cheese, which is true. There's no need, but, you know, I like it. So it makes it more palatable, you know?
But you really do have to work on your legs. Kenny Cola has a picture of you out there circulating on the internet, and your legs do look a little thin, but quite sexy in heels. I like that.
Yes. Anybody could go check that. I put that out on my Facebook page. I've gotten a lot of comments on that already.
That's funny.
Yeah, he did two. He did one with my upper body doing a front double bicep and attached it to some cartoon women's, I guess, kind of sexy legs and heels.
Right.
And then he connected them to a Chewbacca's legs.
Oh yeah. I'm just looking at that. That's hilarious. Yes.
And I'm wearing like the black hat and
the paces. What do they call them? Yeah. Payas?
Payouts.
Payouts. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
So I got an email today, Carl. Interestingly enough, you know, it's one of the, it's funny how we do the banter stuff. I forget about this until we start talking. I got an email today from a guy, Israel's only IFBB pro bodybuilder.
Really?
Active, I guess. I'm sure they probably have another one, but it's their only active pro bodybuilder, and he's going to come to America to compete in the John Simmons 202 pro bodybuilding show in Detroit, Michigan. And he's a big fan of the show, and he wanted to come on and get a little exposure and talk to us before his show, which is still a few months away, or at least 8 weeks away.
Right.
And so I thought that was interesting that we have fans in Israel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, what part of Israel does he live in? Do you know?
I don't know. You know, he said he had sent me a few messages, but on Facebook, I don't know about you, but I get a lot of messages on there, and sometimes I don't check them as well as I should. You know.
Yeah. I'm guilty of that as well.
You're guilty of not checking your messages in general.
Yeah, I just get I probably don't get any more than you do, but I just the time that I have in the day to get everything done that I have to get done, and then on top of that, answer emails. I mean, right now, the Superhuman Radio mail server has been down all day because this server transition is a much bigger project than I ever thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to be like, hey, move all the files from there to here, and we're done. And it's like, it's just so much more than that, setting up the server environment and all this other bullshit and all extra software that I had to buy and blah, blah, blah.
Well,
so I've been without email today, but I still have 834 emails in my personal inbox.
Oh my gosh, that you haven't read?
Yeah. But that's just from this past like 7 days. That's just this past week.
And they're all from real people. They're not junk.
No, they're all real. No, they're all real people.
You get more than me. Then I don't get 800 in a week.
I mean, I'm buried alive. I mean, most of them are really important emails, and I, and anybody who's ever emailed me,
probably people's sponsors wanting to give us money.
Yes, I wish it was that. I wish it was that.
you would have seen those.
It's listeners who either are commending me about a show or asking me to do a show or asking me if I ever heard of something, asking me my advice on something. And I take them very seriously, and I want to answer every one of them myself. Not like I have anybody to delegate it to anyway, but I mean, I do have to answer every one of them by myself. And so it takes me a long time.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll get, the server switch. People were complaining because they weren't able to get Pulsing Radio on Monday.
Right.
It's no big deal. They can get it now. That's really why I'm bringing it up. Yeah. If you haven't heard this most recent Pulsing Radio with Dave Palumbo, you can download it off the RSS feed or iTunes or whatever.
Right.
Or RX Muscle. What did you think? You listened to that one. What did you think of the show? I mean,
I thought it was a great show. It was very good. I thought it was funny. It was a good show.
It was more informative than usual.
I was shocked to hear that anyone out there is doing 10,000 milligrams of a variety of androgens in 1 week. That was. I mean, when that question was posed to Dave Palumbo, and he said that here's what I've heard, and I knew a guy who was doing a total of 10,000.
And he was just an NPC competitor, not a professional or anything.
And he didn't look good on top of it.
Dave didn't even say he was like looked really good. He was kind of like, nah.
He said he never could come in contest ready. He never could hit it. Like, he was always either like
probably
bloated,
holding a tremendous amount of fluid.
Oh, I'm sure.
And 10,000 milligrams.
Could you imagine?
No.
I mean, the only person that could
remember, he said he's walking around with the test flu, test-like symptoms.
Yeah, right.
Flu-like
symptoms all the time, right. Yeah. And the only person that I could imagine even coming close to that I personally know would be BLP, and that's because he doesn't even pay attention to what he's doing. He's 3 cc's of this, 3 cc's of that, and, 3 times a day he's doing that stuff. So maybe he's reaching those goals. I don't know, but.
Well, you got to think about it. So if he's doing – in his off-season, he does 3 cc's. He just puts everything into a big bottle.
Right.
So let's say the average milligram is 200 milligrams. He's doing at least 3 cc's a day, so that's 4,200 milligrams a week.
Right.
If he's doing 3 a day, and I think for his contest prep, I think he said he's doing 6 a day, so – or something like that.
Well,
so
like 8 or 9,000.
He could be up there in the 8 gram, six, right. seven, eight right. gram range.
Right.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot. I think that's extremely unnecessary, obviously.
Yeah.
Saying on the show, drugs can't make up for genetics or training or not eating right.
Yeah. And actually, I had a really nice conversation last night with Andrew, who runs one of Dusty Henshaw's supplement stores here in Phoenix. It's
he's the general manager of the store.
Well, he's not the general manager. He runs the main store, their original store in Scottsdale.
And he's not the general manager. What is he?
I don't know. I didn't ask him what he is. I don't know if he may be the general manager. I don't know. I do know he goes to a couple different stores.
Is this Dusty's training partner?
Yes, I believe he does train with him. Yes. Yeah.
He's like a young guy, like 25.
Yeah, yeah. He's in great shape. He's actually getting ready to do a show very shortly.
Yeah,
really nice guy. Really nice guy. Great guy. Yeah. Originally from Indiana. Good, wholesome Midwestern guy. And we went down there last night. JL Giller and I went down there last night because I don't have a car. So actually, I went with her. She didn't go with me. And so we went there last night to drop off some of the new cards promoting the radio station, new Superhuman channel. And we stood there and we talked for a very, very long time. And, you know, he was even saying that. He said, you know, there are so many guys out there that when you find out, like, genetically, that they're gifted because they're using so little. And he made a really good point. He said, everyone knows that when a guy gets close to contest, that's when they start really increasing their drugs.
Right.
He said, and if they use that level of drugs all year long, there would be no transition. It wouldn't change. It's like the fact that they are able to make that transition and to get totally hard and totally ripped because they are increasing their drugs means that they're coming from a much lower level. Does that make sense? Did I explain it right? You know, but it's a great point. He said, you know, if they were using those doses all year long, there would be no transition. There would be no change. They would stay the same. But they do increase their drugs, and they increase them to those levels that we're talking about. So the rest of the year, they're just using like HRT type levels.
I don't know about HRT type levels,
well,
but yeah,
you know what I mean.
HRT type levels is 200 milligrams
a
week for
no.
7 days.
Well, maybe 1,000, but just testosterone. You know, just testosterone. That's all they're using.
Right, right.
They're not fooling with anything else.
But I think it depends on the person, but there's definitely something to be said. I mean, it's obvious that people, when you're dieting for a contest, that's when you're taking the more drugs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like you said, if you're having to take, you know, if you're taking 2,500 milligrams in the off season, you're going to have to bump it up. So then you're going to get to a ridiculous amount.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So there's definitely something to be said for that. So how was Dusty's store? What did you think?
Very nice. Very, very nice store. You know, it's.
This is the one in Scottsdale?
Yeah, it's not a GNC type of a store. It's a real traditional supplement store where people give you advice. And Andrew was telling me that nobody in the company gets commissions, so there's no bait and switch. It's not like you come in for one product and they push you to a product where they make more money. And they, you know, they advise people. You know, like Andrew tells me, sometimes he runs guys out. You know, these guys, young guys, come in and they're not even eating, you know, 3,000 calories a day, you know, 5-6 meals a day. And he's like, take that money and go buy McDonald's with it and start eating more before you start spending any money on these supplements. They're not going to do anything for you if you're not eating.
Dusty's going to hear that and he's going to fire your buddy.
Nah, I think that's Dusty's,
I'm just kidding. Dusty's looking out for these guys' best.
Yeah.
Interest.
Yeah. I mean, and well, you know what? If you teach somebody the right way to do things, they're going to be customers forever. You know what I mean? You rip them off once and that's all you're going to do is rip them off once.
So this weekend, this Saturday, I went to the Nutrition Depot Expo in Clear Lake. I took some pictures on Facebook and RX Muscle and everything.
Right.
And it was fun. You know, I got to see some people I hadn't seen in a while. You know, I dressed totally wrong for it, Carl. I don't know why I thought it would be inside, considering it's like an expo.
Right.
And so I wore jeans, and it was outside.
Oh God, it was so hot.
In Houston, you know,
thankfully
I was wearing a t-shirt,
right.
But, you know, it's like, in Houston, you know, I don't know, maybe it was 100 degrees.
Right.
Something like that. It was under shade, but it was still, you know, it was still very, uncomfortable. But anyway, it was at the big Nutrition Depot store and they had, Victor Martinez there. They had, Dennis Wolf. They had, Aaron Stern was there. My friends, Max Fairchild and his fiance, Katina, and, my friend, you know, Lee Thompson and his wife, Stacy, and a whole bunch of other people. I'm sure I'm forgetting people, but, so it was nice to visit with everybody. And then afterwards, we went and worked out and I took, Lee through an arm workout. What this is leading up to, Carl, is I got to watch Aaron Stern train Stacy and Katina through a, I guess, kind of like a plyo workout or some sort of athletic workout that,
right.
That it was very impressive to watch. And I thought that if I were to do that with them, I would either get hurt or be very embarrassed or possibly both.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it was very aerobic, in other words, right? It was really fast
not
moving.
Aerobic. I mean, it just took amount of, probably, I mean, put it to you this way, like, you know, they're doing like, you know, like some kind of like, you know, squat jumps and box
jumps.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, what was the thing that they were doing where they're holding the weight overhead and doing, like running lunges almost, you know, like in place running lunges with weight overhead, you know?
Right. Right.
Like a bunch of stuff that looked, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm sure it was kind of unnecessary to be, you know, a figure competitor, but I guess it's, and I suppose it would be more fun. You know, it's something you wouldn't normally do. It's not like, you know, that's one thing with lifting is, you know, it's repetitive. You know, you do the same thing. Even if you have a lot of variety, you're still really doing the same things over and over again.
Right.
Week after week. Well, this is some stuff that, I've never even seen anybody do before. But it looked interesting and scary. and that was my Saturday, pretty much.
Did you get to talk to Aaron Stern at all?
Of course. We're friends.
And what kind of girl is she? Is she a nice girl or?
Yeah, of course she's a nice girl. She's a nice girl. A funny girl.
Oh, really? She's got a good sense of humor?
Very good sense of humor. Funny. And, you know, she was there to work. Unfortunately, you know, that's the one thing is that, they're there. She came in on Friday, I believe, and got in early, and she did store appearances all day. And then Saturday, you know, the people that are working the expo get there at 8:30 in the morning, and the expo didn't end until 5.
Right.
So they're kind of stuck there the whole time out in the heat. So yeah, she seems like a very nice girl. You know, I met her a bunch of times before, and you know, we're friends.
Cool.
Yeah.
Talking about heat, I'm sitting in the studio. I'm completely covered in sweat.
Yeah.
I have
it's the T3 you're taking.
I have a prescription, by the way, for T3, by the way. Did you know that?
No, I have a prescription. I didn't know that. I thought you had ordered.
I didn't tell you that. I ordered from mexmedsforyou.com, plugged their website, great website. And that's the numeral 4, MEXMEDS, the number 4, YOU.com.
We should get them to sponsor the show.
Well, here, listen to this. I didn't tell you this because I forgot to. The box was opened when I got here, because it had a little insert with like what looked like a U.S. Customs emblem on it, saying that the box was opened by them, and you could see where they had cut the tape and then retaped it.
Uh-huh.
But I still got it. You know why? There was a prescription in it. There was a hand signed written prescription in my name from a physician at mexmedsforyou.com.
Really?
Yes. So how do you like that shit? I mean, that I think that's pretty cool. So
I wonder what other kind of prescriptions they can write.
They don't have HCG. I checked that. But everything else, I guess, they have there. I'm sure that they wouldn't. I'm sure that prescriptions for, you know, narcotics wouldn't work or you know,
no,
benzos. No, I'm just saying I'm fanning by benzos. But I mean, I think that your run-of-the-mill blood pressure meds and Cialis and all that.
I'm pretty sure if they can write one prescription there, they can write anything.
Yeah.
I don't think they have those other kind of drugs on the site, though.
No, they don't. There's a lot of drugs they don't have on the site. But anyway,
No testosterone or anything.
No,
like that.
No. But I started out with 25 micrograms of Cytomel.
No, you started out with 12 and a half.
No. I started right out with 25, actually.
Oh.
And I felt great at 25, but then all of a sudden it just stopped working. It was almost like my body either got used to it or something. So I added another.
I told you 25 micrograms is almost like a replacement.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. And so then when I added the other 12 and a half micrograms, it's like it kicked back in again. I just sweat constantly now. It's just unbelievable.
You take the whole 37.
No,
and a half
I take 25 in the morning. What I do is I take 25 in the morning and lay back down in bed and wait to wake up, and then I get up and I have my. Go to the gym and train and then have my breakfast, blah, blah, blah. And then I take the other 12 and a half micrograms around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And
you're on the same amount as I am. Interestingly enough, though, I don't sweat nearly as much as you.
Well, I may have had a thyroid. I mean, I really do believe I had a thyroid disorder. I believe it. I mean,
told me you thought a while ago, you thought that was what was keeping you kind of run down.
Yeah. I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, I went gray very young. Not very young. I went gray in my early 40s, and that's usually like when you go gray really all at once. That's usually a sign of a thyroid disorder. My ears, I do have tinnitus. My ears ring. My ears are not ringing anymore since I've been using the T3. So I think I was right on the money with that.
Well, good. I'm glad we found you something, and hopefully you'll start losing body fat at a faster
rate. Oh, I'm definitely losing body fat. There's no doubt about it. I look
you're
at
taking enough testosterone that it shouldn't affect you. It shouldn't be catabolic.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of, we were talking earlier about the weather. It's starting to really rain down here in Houston.
Yeah, you have a storm coming, right?
Well, there's a hurricane, the first hurricane in a while. I can't remember. When was the last hurricane in the Gulf, Carl? It seems like a while.
I can't remember. You're right. Yeah.
It doesn't – I mean, I don't know. We had the hurricane season, I believe, is almost over. Isn't it start – doesn't it start like in the summer?
Yeah, right. Yes.
Like, doesn't it start like in June or
yes,
July?
Yes, this is almost over. You're right. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's like over. Like I don't remember when it starts. Maybe August it starts. Maybe we're right in the middle of it. Maybe we're in the beginning of it.
Of course, this is the monsoon season starting right now in Arizona where it rains really hard at night. So maybe.
But anyway, yeah, Hurricane Alex is in the Gulf heading towards southern Texas, like Brownsville and Mexico. But the bands of the hurricane are kind of hitting here now. Somebody actually got an email before the show. I'm not even sure. I've never even got an email for this gentleman before, but he was worried that the show wouldn't be live tonight or that we wouldn't be able to do the show because of the hurricane. But it's not affecting me that much. Well, now, I've been lucky, Carl, since Hurricane Ike and
Tina. And Hurricane Ike, Hurricane Tina, and Hurricane Turner.
The three
hurricanes there.
since Katrina – and then Ike, I haven't really been through a hurricane, which is weird. Usually, from being from New Orleans, we would get, at least a scare or two every year almost, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been a while. It's probably about that time. Maybe we'll get one this year.
Yeah.
As a kid, I used to like hurricanes.
Why? You thought they were exciting?
I think I thought they were exciting. I think, I would get off of school if there was school. If there wasn't school, there's stuff to do, I guess there's like excitement in the air,
My
parents would worry, I would be excited.
When you would watch those shows about the hurricane, the guys who would chase the tornadoes and stuff, did you think that would be a cool job?
No, that sounds scary.
Okay. All right.
The hurricanes never, until Katrina, there was never any, I never really associated danger with the hurricanes. Yeah. Because the worst thing that would happen would be the lights would go out and there'd be flooding, and I kind of like the flooding. As a kid.
Yeah,
a kid,
because you meant there was no school, that's why.
When I had no property to be concerned about.
Right,
Flooding's great. You go out there and play.
Right.
I mean, we had flooding so bad in New Orleans before that, people would be out there in canoes and, we would go out there with pool, rafts from the pool, and go, tubing and stuff.
Yeah.
you get a car or truck and they pull you in your tube,
Yeah.
Like going tubing in a river.
Right. We used to do – I mean, I grew up in snow country in New York, and we would do something similar when it would snow. We would skitch on the back of the city buses. The bus lines would come down like Myrtle Avenue, and when they would stop to pick up passengers, you'd run behind them, and you'd grab the bottom of the bumper, and then you'd get down on your squatting position with your feet down on the ground, and then you'd let the bus pull you. We called that skitching. It was our form of skiing. For poor kids in the ghetto. So that was always fun. The only problem with it was when the bus would go over a sewer plate, which usually had hot air coming out of it and would be completely devoid of any ice, if you hit that sewer plate, it would pull your feet out from under you, and then you'd be dragged by the bus because you couldn't let go because there were cars behind you. So you'd have to hold on and be dragged until the bus pulled into the next bus stop, unless you had the dexterity and strength to get your feet back under you, and you usually didn't at that age. So it was pretty cool. But anyway, that was another lifetime. Skitching on buses is pretty dangerous. I'm not recommending that people do that. Don't do it, okay, Aaron?
No, I won't. I definitely won't.
Okay.
Carl, I wanted to talk about, before we get too late and we got to call Ed Connors, Muscle Gossip with the Yuck Mouth Yenta. That's
yes, your new article. Very cool.
Yeah, my new column. For RX Muscle, and it's like a gossip column, right? About bodybuilding, and we're keeping it strictly bodybuilding. So, we're not, unless something really crazy goes on the boards or something, it's pretty much bodybuilding related gossip. And, I'm trying to keep it as positive as possible, stuff that people don't know, or one place to find, a lot of the gossip that, could be found elsewhere. But I want to keep it positive as possible, you know, because there's obviously there's a lot of like, you know, I'm not going to go Anthony Roberts style on it. You know, he usually he's got the negative stuff. I'm going to go with the more positive bodybuilding style guy.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I read your first article. I even texted you the next morning. I thought it was really good.
You think I did a good job, huh?
Yeah, you did a good job. It was really interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, it's stuff that I don't know. I don't know if that subject matter necessarily interests everybody, but when I used to read, I mean, I still read the magazines, but I'm not like, you know, with the internet and stuff, the magazines are kind of a little bit outdated, you know?
Right.
But when I used to read the magazines, you know, in Flex, I would read Hard Times. And, in Muscle Mag, I would read the Venice Beach Scene. You know, I like the gossip stuff where you get the updates, you know, even if it's a little blurb updates on the bodybuilders. I like the behind the scenes stuff, you know. Right. I guess that's why I like this show so much. I think that's why a lot of other people like the show, because you get the behind the scenes stories behind the guys, not just the weights and the reps, you know.
Right, right.
So the personal life stuff, you know, when you looked at Muscle Mag, you might see an article on training shoulders, and the athlete training shoulders might be Chris Cormier, but it's not going to tell you anything about his personal life,
right,
or anything about him as a person. But the Venice Beach Scene, it would say, you know, it might show a picture of him going out to eat with Charles Glass and saying, you know, Charles and Chris are training twice a day now, doing, you know, whatever, and Chris is staying at Charles's house.
Right. I actually have a piece of gossip about Chris Cormier.
Yeah, what is it? This makes me a little nervous.
I don't know that the source is reliable. I'm not going to suggest that the source is, you know, the guy that I was talking to about a week and a half ago. But he mentioned something about, you know, Chris Cormier supposedly pulled out of a competition not too long ago because he had a back problem or something like that. Do you know about that?
He's had some injuries, yes.
Well, the rumor is that he didn't have a back problem, but instead he had a spinal infection as a result of a deltoid injection that got infected.
He was in the hospital for a while. I know that. I mean, I don't know what the reasoning was. So he certainly didn't put that on his Twitter.
No, he didn't, and I'm sure that he'll probably never come on this show now that I said that. But
he's a weeder athlete. Yeah, he's not coming on right now anyway. Right.
Well, anyway, I heard that. I mean, the reason I'm saying that is if that's true, it's tragic. I mean, his spinal injury is infection is nothing to fool with. I hope he's okay.
It's not like we're not sympathetic to that. That could happen to anybody, right? Or not anybody, but any of us.
It could happen to any of us.
Any of us.
Yes.
Right.
So anyway, but yeah, and I'm just sorry to hear that. But anyway, that's my contribution to gossip.
Yes, yes. I wonder if I would print something like that. That's like one thing that's interesting. I have to think about.
Well, you could print it now by saying, "See, this is what you do."
An unnamed source.
No. You say during the off-topic radio show the other night, Carl Lenore mentioned that an unnamed source told him, and then you're like three places removed from. So you're not actually spreading gossip. You're reporting someone else who spread gossip. So you can do that. You can do it.
All right. Well, I'll think about that. Maybe I'll put that in there. I mean, what I'll do is I'll make a few phone calls first and find out if there's any fact based behind that.
Yeah.
I've got a few little stories in mind for this next column, but I've got to make phone calls and find out if they're true or not. If I can get some verification.
Is one of them about Jose Raymond's sexual escapades?
Has it, Rose? I don't think Jose's had any sexual escapades other than with his girlfriend.
I know, I'm just joking.
You're trying to throw Jose under the bus.
Yeah, I know. I'm breaking his balls.
I should have played along and be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll get completely freaked out.
He'll be on the phone with you tomorrow now. What the fuck is Carl talking about?
I'm staying with him, for the Connecticut show. So I'll actually be doing one of the off-topic shows from Jose Raymond's computer. So
that's going to be great. Yeah.
That'll be interesting. Maybe I'll put him on and put Tony, his girlfriend, on for a minute.
Yeah.
All right, Carl, we should go to a break because we got to get Ed on the phone, and we'll do shout outs when we get back.
How about that? There you go. So stay tuned. You're listening to Off Topic Radio. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Turnable from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get your today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
All eyes on me. All eyes on me. All eyes on me.
Live my life as a thug till the day I die.
Welcome back to Off Topic. So you want to do shout-outs after the interview, Aaron?
Is that what you want to do, Carl?
Yeah, I think we should get Ed right into the interview, and then we can do the shout-outs when we come out of that. How's that sound?
Sure, sure. That's fine.
All right, you want to introduce the guest?
Sure. Our next guest is Ed Connors, who is the former owner of Gold's Gym Venice Beach, among other things, also an architect. And I want to welcome Ed to the show. Ed, how are you doing, buddy?
Very good. It's good to be on the radio.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for coming on, Ed. We appreciate it. Ed, I want to start off with how you got involved with Gold's Gym in the first place.
It was one of those fluke investments that you make that changes your life, and I guess it's all a matter of taking risks and never looking back. But I met Pete Kronkowski in Florida when I was job hunting as an architect. I was actually interviewing to work on Epcot in Orlando for Disney World, and went over to see a friend of mine who was at a local gym, and there was Pete Kronkowski behind the counter, and he was the biggest guy I'd ever seen. And I said, God, you belong in out there at Gold's Gym in L.A. I had just been out to the West Coast for a job interview there, and having just recently gotten out of the Army in Vietnam, the weather in Orlando, the humidity and heat reminded me so much of Vietnam, I didn't care what Disney would offer me. I wasn't going to take the job. But I told Pete, I said, you know, if I take that job in L.A., why don't you come out? You can stay with me till you get settled. And he did. He was going through a divorce and didn't have a car and kind of down on his luck. But he came out to L.A. and started working out at the Gold's Gym, which at the time was in Santa Monica. And he went on to win the Mr. World and begin to develop a bodybuilding career. And several years after he had come out to L.A., he called me up one day and said, Ed, you know, are you interested in buying Gold's Gym with me? And he and Tim Kimber and I eventually bought Gold's Gym in 1979 when it was a single location in downtown Santa Monica.
And eventually you bought into a bunch more Golds at one point?
Well, then about, that was 1979, and then in 1980, some friends of mine had opened up a gym in San Francisco, and since they couldn't be call it Gold's Gym, they said, well, the next best thing to Gold is Diamonds. They called it Diamonds Gym. But they weren't doing well and not very happy, and they said, Ed, are you interested in buying our gym? And I said, well, you know, I can't call it Ed's Gym with any hope of success. So Pete, Tim, and I decided to start licensing the name for other gyms. So that became the first Gold's Gym. At the time, we felt that since not everybody could come to what was becoming the Mecca of bodybuilding, we would bring the Mecca to the people. So Gold's Gym in San Francisco, which is still in existence, actually has several locations, was the first licensee in 1980, June 16th, 1980. And
wow.
we grew the chain from one to 504 gyms when I sold it with Pete and Tim in 1999, and I stayed on with the new owners for five more years.
Wow.
Well, that it kind of leads us to your history with house guests. Now, you told me earlier you had over 600 house guests. Is that right?
In the 35 years. I figure roughly 600. I had several homes at one point, all within walking distance of Gold's Gym Venice. But we didn't have much money to spend on advertising budget. And Paul Gromkowski, who was Pete's brother, who was handling our franchising system, the franchising of the gyms, would have gym owners that stay at his house for free, essentially, of course. And I would have some owners, but I would also invite fitness people who I met if they needed a place to stay to shack up at one of my houses until they got on their feet. And as you know, you can imagine, even especially now in this economy, oftentimes the difference between being able to make a move in America is having money for a couple of weeks for a motel or hotel to house hunt or look for a job. But oftentimes that money is eaten up, and then you have no money for deposit on an apartment. So it was one way of generating goodwill for the gym and helping people make a move. And, you know, I in turn hoped that they would support Gold's Gym, and they actually, I think ironically or coincidentally, helped make Gold's Gym the Mecca of bodybuilding and the largest gym chain in the world at the time when we sold.
Now, Ed, I know you couldn't possibly list all of the people that have stayed with you, but can you list a few for our listeners to give an idea of the caliber and some of the stars you've had stay with you?
Well, Jay Cutler stayed many times, and he thanks me profusely, or more than really he needs to, in some of his videos or books. But I think he took advantage of the visits to learn from other house guests. I mean, oftentimes there would be three or four other people at the house, so it'd be like a frat house or a school where you would share training ideas or supplements or diet. And Jay took advantage of that. He's probably certainly one of the more prominent. I've helped a dozen bodybuilders get into wrestling. John Cena was certainly probably the most notable of those. I met him in the Gold's Gym parking lot when he was 21. He's now 33, so that was 12 years ago. I at the time, Marky Mark or Mark Wahlberg and Matt Damon were training at Gold's Gym Venice, a couple of our celebrity members, and John looked so much like either one of them with muscles. I said, God, you know, have you ever thought of professional wrestling? And he answered and said it would be his dream, but he was out there on spring break and had no way of connecting or making a move, and I helped him do that. And he was a house guest for about 5 months and then moved into another house I owned and rented the apartment there for a while until he got on his feet. But he had a wrestling contract within 18 months after I met him, so was on his way.
Wow.
It's almost like what people do with – they have these business incubating systems where they take potential entrepreneurs in. And I mean, it's amazing. You've launched a lot of careers.
Well, I think it's more like American Idol, which I think people – I can relate to now. I wish I had – unfortunately, I wish I'd saved some of the tapes or pictures or things I'd been sent for people wanting help. But, you know, unfortunately – I wasn't, you know, they weren't looking in the same mirror that I was. But, you know, these are people that I just saw potential with and, you know, you wanted to encourage. And most of them lack confidence, I would say. Aaron and I were talking about this earlier, but a lot of bodybuilders are sort of insecure and lack confidence, don't believe themselves and don't have a lot of support from family, but have a dream, and that needs to be encouraged. And it's amazing. I mean, I never knew John Cena could rap. I didn't know he could act. But it blows my mind to see what he did with the opportunity. But he seized it, and it's incredible. And Jay did, too. I mean, I think too many pro bodybuilders these days are obsessed with winning. I think having a successful, long pro career is not about winning. It's just about having a long-term healthy career and making some money. Jay was probably making just as much money before he was Mr. Olympia, and people like Gunther Schlierkamp or Mike Matarazzo, who were also house guests for many months, had incredible careers as pro bodybuilders without ever placing that high.
What was Marky Mark like in the gym? Was he serious? Was he serious when he was in the gym training?
You know, that was in his early days when he was still Marky Mark and not Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah, he was more of a character. Then he got really serious. He changed a lot, but obviously from his TV shows and movies, he's a genius. Gunther Schlierkamp stayed with his second wife at my house for 5 months and learned English watching movies on TV. And I've had many German house guests. Gold's Gym used to put on a lot of bodybuilding contests, and my gyms that I was involved with also put on contests. And we would like to bring over bodybuilders from foreign countries that most Americans would never get to see. So that became the reason that I brought over people like Barry DeMay or Gunnar Rosbo or Marco Savalainen, and people that I hope your listeners will look up, because there's some incredible bodybuilders in the past that I don't think the young people today have any sense of the history of some of the greats.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You trailed off. Let me ask
one
you a question.
One of the guests said that you had a stay with you that ended up not having a great career, or having, I guess probably I would say your most notorious house guest is Craig Titus.
Right. That's kind of a surprise, actually, because he was certainly one of the neatest house guests I've ever had. Very, very, in fact, I turned 65 last month, and besides getting a nice greeting from Arnold, one of the few other cards I got was from Craig Titus from jail. He drew this beautiful birthday card for me, which is very, very thoughtful, very touching. I mean, he writes me still. I visited him the first time he was in jail and brought him supplements and sent money and magazines and what have you, and it's still kind of a shock. I don't really think he killed his assistant. I think perhaps he's covering for his wife or someone else. But
really,
one of my jobs at Gold's Gym, besides like telling certain members that they had to work on their body odor issue, was anybody that got in a fight, I would have to suspend. I mean, I wasn't the gym manager, but I was next door in the corporate offices, and for some reason, that was one of my jobs, and Craig Titus is the only Gold's Gym member I can remember in the 20 years that Pete, Tim, and I own the company that I had to throw out or suspend his membership three times. And he was, you know, some bodybuilders are not exactly the fighters you would think, but Craig Titus certainly was a tough guy. And I really believe if he'd wanted to kill this woman, it wouldn't have been the long, drawn-out process that I've read about. It would have been pretty quick and easy. So I don't really think he killed her.
So from your guess is that either she died on accident or that Kelly was the one responsible?
Perhaps, and then Craig tried to cover. I mean, the whole botched, it's a shame to talk about murder in that way. A murder of a human life is a botched effort, but the whole thing just seems, almost a comedy of errors, and I just can't believe that's Craig. So, you know, maybe somebody was all whacked up on drugs and did a lot of stupid things, but I really don't believe Craig killed her.
Now, Craig stayed with you for a while, didn't he?
Not very often. I think I can remember that he had 18 magazine covers before he even turned pro. And what I would do is I would encourage people that had competed but who hadn't necessarily won a contest or gotten a pro card to at least come out to Venice to be photographed. And of course, they'd be photographed at Gold's Gym, and we'd get them wearing our shirts, and they'd be photographed in the gym with the Gold's Gym name in the background. And, you know, that was publicity you couldn't buy, we couldn't afford. So Craig came out many times, and, you know, these were short visits. He still had a regular job or wherever he was living at the time, Texas or Washington State. And he would, you know, fly in on a Friday or whatever and go back on a Sunday. And they were quick visits. I remember him, you know, coming a number of times but not staying very long. I remember Tom Prince was at the house too at the same time Craig was there. They didn't really get along, but they were there at the same time.
Why didn't they get along?
I don't know. There's perhaps some rivalry because they were both at that level of trying to get a pro card. And
well, Tom Prince got his pro card before Craig. I know that they went up against each other, and Craig felt like he should have won that year.
Yeah, see, that was probably it. They were at my place together and had to share a bathroom. I had a four-bedroom house at my last house in Venice, and I remember two of the back bedrooms shared a bath, so they had to fight over that probably.
is that the same one you were telling me about, how Lee Priest stayed in that room and the other guy in the house?
Yeah, Lee Priest was actually my first house guest at that house. It was right on the Venice beach. It was an incredible home. I miss it. And actually, Flex Lewis was my last house guest there. So it's ironic that I had 2 5-foot whatever short bodybuilders at my house, the kind of alpha and the omega. And actually, Flex turned 21 at my house, Lee Priest turned 21 and Flex turned 20.
Wow.
So they were both young guys, and there was a kid that had some, you know, really didn't have a father and was kind of down on his luck and was trying to put on some weight for football, and he was from East L.A., and I invited him to stay the summer at my place to train and put on weight, and ironically, he shared the same bathroom with Lee Priest, but I later on learned from him that he's now a cop, by the way, in Las Vegas. I learned that during that entire three-month period, he never used the bathroom because Lee Priest locked his side of the door, so he used the toilet in the powder room off the kitchen and basically showered at Gold's Gym Venice, which was in walking distance. So
wow.
That was kind of funny. He was so intimidated by this kid who, in fact, was only a year older, but, of course, was huge. Lee Priest, when I met him at age 20, was 215 pounds with 21.5-inch arms and looked almost as incredible then as he did now. I mean, there really wasn't much difference, an amazing physique.
Were you ever interviewed by Randy Roach for any of his Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors books that he's writing right now?
No, the only two people I've ever been interviewed, Ron Harris wrote a beautiful article after the death of Paul DeMeo, who was another house guest, and then John Romano wrote an incredible story on Gold's Gym, and Post Sale, which was in MD, which is a masterpiece. I mean, both those guys are just incredible writers.
Yeah.
I read a lot, mostly biographies or autobiographies, but I could not believe the talent in those two. I'd never, I'd obviously never read anything they'd written about me until then, and they got the story so down so well and so masterfully told. It was just, it's great that bodybuilding magazines or websites now have those kind of people writing for them.
Yeah. Both of those guys are very talented. Those are probably two of the best and the most prolific writers in bodybuilding. I wanted to ask you about Lee. You told me that you had heard before you met Lee that you heard a rumor because he had gotten to Gold's. I guess I don't know if he was at Gold's Gym Venice Beach at the time, but you had heard he was in Venice, and you heard that. What did you hear about him before you?
It was the whole thing again. Irv Gelb, who's a photographer, a very very good photographer, who's helped many of the guys get supplement contracts. Brought Lee Priest into my office, and Lee was stranded. He had been flown, or he had come to America under some false pretenses and didn't have a place to stay. Irv Gelb brought him over and said, "Ed, can you help this kid?" And I said, "Take off your shirt and hit some poses." And I took some Polaroids and FedExed them to Joe Weider. Actually, 2 days later, we had lunch with Joe. But it took months for the Weider organization to get Lee's contract finalized, and during that time Lee stayed at my house. But this was before the internet, the primitive days. But I started hearing stories about this midget or dwarf that trained at Gold's Gym Venice, who was obviously taking massive quantities of growth hormone because he was a freak. And Lee and I eventually figured out they were talking about him, but of course he was staying at my house. I knew what he was taking, and certainly he was. These were days when I had no idea what growth hormone was, and probably wouldn't have helped him get it anyway. But so Lee was talented, an incredible physique early on, and almost a natural bodybuilder. I mean, I mentioned Aaron earlier. I'm amazed at the people I meet. Who are I truly believe natural. In fact, Flex Lewis's training partner from Wales, Rob Terry, I recently helped get into professional wrestling, and you can watch him Thursday nights on TNA Wrestling. But he's 6'5", 300 pounds, and I believe God's honest truth that he's natural. And I think I heard when we were on break, some advertising for some of your supplement sponsors, and I really believe that with what's available nowadays over the counter is incredible. Bill Phillips and creatine really changed bodybuilding forever, but for the good. But there is so much great stuff out there. I mean, you got to remember, I've been around this Gold's Gym bought in 79, so 31 years. Back in those early days, supplements, protein powders tasted terrible, didn't mix well. And were probably not what they said they were on the label. Nowadays you've got incredible products out there. I mean, and I'll say this: I think a lot of it probably wouldn't be allowed if the government really knew what was inside, because obviously it's working. I mean, I meet amazing bodybuilders that have no reason to lie to me who say they're not taking anything, and I do believe them. Call me naive or a fool, but I really think it's amazing what you can do out there without taking steroids or growth hormone or whatever have you.
Hey, Ed, how well do you – you mentioned sending pictures to Joe Weider. How well do you know Joe, and I guess how well did you know Ben?
I didn't know Ben hardly at all, and I didn't like Ben when I did meet him. But Joe Weider and I hit it off very early on. And he has.
Wait, I got to ask you, why didn't you like Ben?
I just felt he was all about the money, and I guess if you went to one of those, I had the good fortune of traveling overseas and going to some of those international contests, the world events, and it just, I just did not, I did not have a good feeling. It was, he had no real passion or heart for it like Joe does. And
it was all business to him.
It was all business. I mean, that's probably a better way to say it. I mean, what I was doing in terms of having house guests was to some degree, you know, all business too, because they were building up Gold's Gym. But I also was, I really was hoping that the whole experience of coming to California and working out there would change their lives for the better. And Joe, there was a synergy between me and Gold's Gym and Pete and Tim and the Weeders, but literally with Joe Weider, because he would publicize the guys in his magazines. You know, in the early days there weren't a lot of the other magazines, and so Weider was it. And of course he also started giving contracts after the WBF came into the scene. But without Joe Weider, I don't think we would be known as the Mecca, or become the largest gym chain in the world at the time we sold. But I don't think, you know, if Weider needed those athletes. He tried to have his own gym chain for a while, but it collapsed after about a dozen gyms. And he needed that Mecca, that Southern California spot where all these athletes came from all over the world to be.
Right. So you got to sit down and talk to Joe a bunch then.
Oh yeah, I mean, in fact, I just spent a Memorial Day weekend with him at Muscle Beach. He was honored as the father of bodybuilding, and he's 90 years old now and still very sharp. And physically, he was in a wheelchair and having, you know, he's got a bad back. He's trying to get fixed, but I see him often.
Well, that's cool. You know, when we, I wanted to come back. We're going to do a commercial break real quick. And when we come back, I want to talk about measurements. You being an architect, you've done a lot of measurements. You know the real size of these guys' arms, legs, etc. So when we come back from break, we'll talk about that, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Here's a little Marky Mark for you. I love this song.
Swing. Come on, swing.
Come up, swing it. He was the best at this show. This is the best.
Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RXMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RXMuscle.com. Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. speciesnutrition.com.
If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans, periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Off Topic. Our guest this hour is Ed Connor.
Yes, yes, it was me. I plead guilty, and at the count of three, I pulled back my.
So, Aaron, you have questions about measurements of.
Well, I'll let Ed start off because he can explain what I'm talking about when I talk about these measurements.
Well, Carl and Aaron, one of the biggest things perhaps I did for people in getting them to come out to California and training at Gold's Gym Venice was to realize for the first time perhaps that these guys they would see in the magazines or gals were not superhuman, that they're, I think there's a tendency to make these people bigger than life, and they would be training at Gold's Gym Venice next to someone they considered a superstar, and then realize that that person really wasn't that much bigger or perhaps not using that much heavier weight, or they'd go down to the firehouse for a meal afterwards and see that that person really didn't eat any differently than they ate. And suddenly they began to believe, well, you know, maybe I could have this lifestyle, or maybe I'm better than I think I am or was. And part of that was, I guess I'm an architect, I would start measuring, I kept, you know, a file of some of these people to help them understand that really they're a lot closer than they think, and it's all about creating that illusion on stage. And I've taped a lot of guys over the years, and you know, a 20-inch bicep is a rare thing. I mean, and so when these people would come and, you know, they had a 19 or 19.5-inch arm, I'd say, you know, you're not that far off. I mean, we're talking a half an inch. We're not talking inches. We're not talking a lot of weight you have to put on. It's all about creating that illusion. I've taped some big arms, but again, there are some people that were known for their arms actually had smaller arms than guys that were not as well known because they had such great shape.
Really?
Paul DeMeo, who everybody, you know, they called Quadzilla, he was 5'9" and, you know, competed in the 240s perhaps at his best, and his thighs taped to 28 inches on stage, which I would imagine there are a fair number of amateurs who are probably a little bit taller, but who have 28-inch, 29-inch thighs on stage. So it wasn't so much the size of his leg, it was the shape of it. At the same time, people were talking about Mike Francois, who was Mike Francis to some, who as having incredible arms. But I remember, you know, Mike was a house guest, and I taped his arms, and actually they were less than Paul's. Paul, who had incredible triceps, I don't ever think got the recognition he deserved for his arms. But, you know, Paul's arms off-season were 23 inches, whereas Mike's were lucky to be 21. But, it was the shape. That's an important thing not to lose track of, I think, is to look in the mirror and also weigh yourself and also take some measurements and see how you're doing. Because if you add a couple inches to your chest, but you had 3 inches to your waist, then I think you've lost making that illusion. And I think actually the big story last year at the Olympia was the fact that Jay Cutler was probably the lightest he's been in years, and yet everybody thought he looked bigger, but in fact he weighed 255, which might have been 20 pounds less than what he'd weighed in his highest in the past, and yet everybody thought he looked at his best or biggest. So it just shows you that there's a point of no return that I think too many people are losing sight of, that they're just obsessed with weight for weight's sake. And one of my favorite phrases these days is, you know, this is not bowling. There's nothing magic about 300.
No. Right. No. And all these guys, that 300 seems to be like that's the golden number. A lot of people are shooting for 300 for no particular reason.
Was Vince Gironda still around when you first started in the gym business?
Yeah, he was. He owned a gym. I think it was in North Hollywood at the time. And
did you know him?
I met him a few times. Did not know him well.
A lot of people talk about as he aged, he became, some people would say, for lack of better terms, bitter or a recluse. Was he already in that reclusive stage when you had met him, or was he still pretty active?
Yeah, I would say he was. In fact, that was the interesting thing at the Muscle Beach contest on Memorial Day with Joe Weider. A lot of the old-timers came over to say hi to him, and I was stunned or shocked at how bad some looked and others looked great. I mean, like Roger Collard, I don't know if you may remember, but he hadn't really aged that much, whereas other people like Reg Lewis I hardly recognized.
Really?
So it was all over the board there. Samir Banu was there, and of course, not so old people like Michael Hearn and Christian Bovee and other people that I've known. And
did you have Mike or Christian stay? We've had Christian on the show before.
Yeah, Christian's been a house guest and did some work at my house. And Michael Hearn, actually, I encouraged to come down to Venice, but he never stayed at my place. He was pretty independent from the get-go. I'll never forget, he lived in an efficiency apartment in Venice and, literally had to wash his dishes in the sink. And, it was an incredible story of sacrifice and going for a dream. I don't know anybody who's really worked harder to pursue a fitness career than Mike.
Really?
We need to get Mike on the show sometime. I got his number. I need to give him a call.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ed, I wanted to go back to the measurements for a minute. What was the biggest arm you've ever measured?
Well, the biggest arm really in shape was Marco Savolainen, a Finnish bodybuilder, 23 5/8 inch.
Wow.
And that was when he was in shape.
Yeah, if you go to YouTube and Google his name, there's an amazing video, which I call kind of the alien shot, because I don't know if you remember in Sigourney Weaver's first alien flick or second, great science fiction, the alien, just when you think you've seen the last of the alien's mouth, another set of teeth pops out.
Yeah.
And when Marco was doing the side chest pose, his bicep is forming a peak, and then all of a sudden, just when you think that's it, another peak or ball of muscle bursts out of the bicep, and it's truly mind-boggling. I mean, he was an amazing bodybuilder. Unfortunately, he got obsessed with the 300 and started getting too heavy and lifting too heavy and hurt himself and ended what could have been an incredible career. He also, I think, didn't get like a lot of the foreign bodybuilders didn't get seen as favorably by the judges as he should have, got overlooked.
Let me give spell his name. You spelled his name for me earlier, so I got it right here. In case anybody wants to Google him or check out the YouTube video that Ed's talking about, it's Marco with a K, M-A-R-K-O, and it's S-A-V-O-L-A-I-N-E-N. And check him out. I looked, and very impressive guy, and you can totally see what Ed's talking about. He has like a Ronnie Coleman-esque split bicep peak. Pretty impressive.
Remember when Popeye used to eat the spinach and then he would flex and the one muscle would pop out and then a little one and another little one and it would just keep on.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I thought of when you were telling that story.
Well, Marco,
go ahead,
yeah.
Ed.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's the biggest calves?
Well, that would be Rich Piana, who some of your viewers may know, who's hopefully going to compete at the USA's this year. We're talking 22-inch calves, Matarazzo at 22-inch calves. Actually, DeMeo and Mike Francois at 22-inch calves.
Wow.
Have you ever measured Eric Fankhauser's calves?
No, I haven't. I've heard they're 23, but I also heard Ben Pekoski's were 23, and they weren't. So, actually, that would be interesting. The problem with Eric, he's got an amazing physique, but the problem with his legs is really that his ankles are big besides, so his calves have to be huge to look good, because What you really want is like Matt Mendenhall had. I don't know if you remember that name from the past, but he had these very high calves so that, and small ankles, so that his actually his calves didn't have to be that big to look incredible. Again, it was all about creating that illusion. But Eric, if you look, has very thick ankles, which unfortunately mean that he had to really get his calves up to something sick in terms of size to stand out. But
Eric's calves almost look too big. You know, because they're different, like you said, they're shaped differently because of, maybe it's because of his ligament and all that development in it.
Do you think that being an architect gave you some sort of unique perspective? When you look at a bodybuilder, you see their potential. I know you said you see their potential, but I mean, do you also think that being an architect also either gave you a unique perspective or gave you an eye that attracted you to bodybuilding?
Oh, I'm sure. I think I like beautiful things. I like beautiful people. I like, you know, beautiful buildings or objects. It's you know, kind of a crazy, I guess that's, you know, what I
when you, when you look at people, do you see geometrics when you look at a person's body?
When I saw John Cena, I just saw a very telegenic face. You know, he was chiseled. It was you know, again, like Marky Mark or Matt Damon. And at the time, I was partners with Steve Borden, who was Sting, the wrestler, and Lex Luger in a gym in Atlanta, Gold's Gym. And Lex Luger, I don't know if you remember him, had a very chiseled face, and again, I was just struck by how effective that kind of face is on TV. And you know, there are a lot of beautiful women out there, but there aren't that many beautiful men, especially you know, from a bodybuilding standpoint or from a fitness standpoint, so or wrestling standpoint. So if I saw someone like that, they definitely stood out. You know, it's a you know, it's a talent. I try to tell these people it's a gift that you really owe it to your creator to pursue. You've been given a talent, a gift that you need to take advantage of. And I think, you know, people like John Cena, who I still believe are natural, are inspirational. No, John lived off supplements. I mean, he stayed in my house for 5 months, and if I didn't buy him dinner that night, he didn't eat any regular food. He lived off protein drinks. So he's, he should be inspiration. He was a machine. He was the most focused house guest I've ever had. But he should be inspirational to your audience in terms of just being able to live off supplements and create an incredible physique. I mean, he doesn't miss a workout. I went to his wedding last year, and he didn't even take a sip of the champagne.
Wow. What discipline. Are you good friends with Chris Bell also? Because I know he's friends with us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, actually, Chris, and there's a guy that worked the front counter at Gold's Gym, and that I know there was a genius working the front desk that made that movie I couldn't believe the movie. I mean, he should be directing 60 Minutes or doing investigative reporting for the networks. I mean, there is an incredible talent. I guess he went to USC Film School, but... unbelievable story. I mean, bigger, stronger, faster. I couldn't agree more with that movie, and I wish more people had seen it. And I hope the cable networks will pick it up and show it.
Yeah,
yeah. I had him on the show before. A good guy.
I want to go back just for a second to the architect crossover in bodybuilding here, just for a second. I've been playing with Photoshop.
Oh, no, this isn't the computer idea.
No, it's not the idea, but I want to see something. Just bear with me here. I've been playing with Photoshop. I've been taking bodybuilders and splitting their bodies in half and then taking the left half and superimposing and making a full body out of the left half and then taking the right half and making a full body out of the right half. In other words, making a copy and flipping it and putting it together. And the distinct difference between the two bodies that you come up with is dramatic, and it just goes to show the profound difference and imperfection from left to right of one person's body. I mean, it looks like two different people when you do this. Do you think that as an architect, because you've been trained to be sensitive to geometrics and to balance and to shapes, that when you look at somebody, you hone in on that without even realizing it?
Oh, sure. I mean, I've told many people over the years that most of the great bodybuilders I've met, you know, wrestled in school and had their growth stunted, and that created a longer torso and shorter legs, and I think that creates a more aesthetic or beautiful physique. If you look at some of the you know, Michelangelo's David or other artwork from the past, you'll see that. And I think, in fact, that's one of the big scandals in America. That's not. In fact, I think one of my biggest achievements when I was with Gold's Gym was getting the NCAA for a couple of years to suspend or give a bigger weight allowance in the wrestling categories because athletes were dying having to make weight.
Oh.
But rather than these coaches going encouraging the athletes to go up in weight, they made them, you know, cut weight. And so you'll meet people, I mean, like Paul DeMeo, who was a state champion high school wrestler. He probably wore, I mean, I don't remember exactly, but a lot, size 11 or 12 shoes. Well, I'm 6 feet and wear 9 1/2. His growth was stunted. He's got big hands, big neck, big feet. And he was meant to be taller, but ironically, this creates the perfect proportions for a great bodybuilder because he develops that longer torso. I'm not talking inches, you know, to maybe an inch or not much more than that. But also shorter legs, which again make for bigger legs, bigger calves, bigger thighs.
Right.
But you know, Lee Priest wrestled. You name the bodybuilder. You know, they all, almost all of them were great athletes in school, and a lot of them wrestled. And I do believe a lot of them had to cut milk products and make weight and basically developed those kind of what's sort of an asymmetrical physique, but it turns out a physique that was more pleasing in terms of genetics for bodybuilding.
Hey Ed, I want to change the subject for a minute. One, the owner of RX Muscle, one of the site that our show is hosted on, is and the owner of Species Nutrition is Dave Palumbo, and you were telling me that he stayed at your house for a while, huh? he actually caused the change in the rules, didn't he?
Well, he had never apparently lived with his girlfriend, and he came out with her, and it was the first time. And I think I was away or not at the house for very much of that time, but I guess they were fighting like cats and dogs. And after Dave's stay, I decided, unless the couple were husband and wife, I didn't want that situation. But there were some dicey times. I remember Lee Priest, when he stayed at my house, had his fiance come from Australia, and at the same time, I had several other house guests who were more into fitness, but, you know, good-looking guys. And I remember one of them came to me and said, "Ed, you know, Lee's fiance is knocking at my door at night."
Oh.
I said, and I tried to tell Lee this, and he didn't believe me. And this house guest, again, had no reason to lie to me. And eventually, she basically ended up taking Lee's winnings in his first pro contest and leaving the country with it. But and I had arguments with her because she told me that she'd love Lee even if he were just working a 40-hour-a-week factory job. And I said, "Bullshit! You can't tell me that. You know, you're not. I mean, how could you not? You know, part of what you love is Lee's physicality. You know, he's 5'4", 215 pounds." How could you ignore that or be oblivious to that? And I don't believe, you know, that's not true. And sure enough, she was worthless. But yeah, she was essentially I mean, this is before a contest, so maybe Lee wasn't the best partner in bed. But that was kind of a funny situation. So it even if the couples are engaged or married, it can be a bit dicey. So I've kind of learned from that to be very careful about cohabitating.
Ed, do you have any other crazy stories like that one? That was a good one. I hadn't heard that one before.
Well, it's just, again, you try and save people from a bad marriage, and there's a good example, and Lee did not. I'd probably, to this day, I don't, maybe now, we ought to have that talk if he comes back to America. I'd like to know if he remembers that, and in fact, I tried to save him, but you know, that gal he never married. I don't know if she was the mother of his child. I remember Lee getting a letter from home and a baby picture fell out. And I said, "Lee, who's that?" And he said, "Oh, that's my daughter." And I was kind of stunned. But
And have you ever had any house guests that you feel were taking advantage of your generosity?
Oh yeah, I suppose many, but you know, you just, you never know.
Who are the worst that you can think of?
Well, as I was telling you earlier, you asked me if I ever threw any out, and it's funny that the three I can think of were I threw out because they overloaded my washing machine and flooded the living room or the bedroom. My first house in Venice, I remember when Joe Mico and Mike Quinn stayed there, they I think, again, they stuffed the damn washing machine with their sneakers, and it overflowed. And I wasn't so much upset that the accident occurred, but the way they handled it. I guess Joe Mico just recently died, which is kind of tragic. He was an incredible talent. But Mike Quinn is, I think, still alive and living in Florida. But and then Chris Cook, when he moved down here initially to try and pursue his pro, you know, start a turn pro, he overloaded my washing machine twice, and I finally, you know, basically said, Chris, I think you're going to have to leave. I felt terrible about that, but he was pretty much ready to leave at that point. But here was a kid who, in the Air Force, had worked on fighter jets, and in civilian life was working on private planes, including, I think, 747s. And I said, God damn it, Chris, you know, you can repair a 747, but you can't load a washing machine. And like so many of these guys, he was just stuffing it and putting his sneakers in besides and, you know, basically causing it to overflow. But I guess, again, being an architect, I loved my homes and didn't want to see them ruined. And certainly having a washing machine overflow and do damage to the sheetrock and baseboards is not something I look forward to.
Yeah,
sure. What about guys doing drugs or alcohol in your houses?
Well, you know, nobody. I always told the guys no illegal drugs, and that was one of the few house rules I had. And I know now, in hindsight, that a few guys did do drugs, recreational drugs. But I was, you know, I was working 80-hour weeks, and I was traveling almost every weekend. So I'm sure a lot went on without my knowledge, but there was no real Eric Fromm I had to send home for basically that reason. You know, there's a he's of course since died, and
he died of a drug overdose, I think.
Yeah, pretty much, and he was actually it gets to a point where you can't help somebody like that. I'm not qualified. I don't know that many people that are that. To handle somebody that has an addiction to recreational drugs. I think Eric was addicted to that sleep aid. What is it?
GHB? No.
It's a common sleep aid that
Xanax.
Ambien.
Yeah.
He was melting that down and injecting it and getting. You know, he said he was getting it from a hospital. I'd love to strangle the doctor that.
It could have been Ambien, then. Maybe OxyContin or something.
Yeah, OxyContin.
No, OxyContin killed DeMeo, but not. I know Eric was definitely doing the Ambien, but I sent him home. I put him on a plane, and he died a couple years later. But I tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about having women over? You know, like meeting some girl at the gym or someplace and bringing girls up to you.
There were a lot of meetings like that, not my. I mean, in fact, it was kind of funny. I remember, I won't say the girl's name, but I remember Paul DeMeo being so excited about this one gal that had come over, and I said, "Paul, I hate to burst your bubble, but you're the sixth house guest she's been with."
That's right, because you got to see everybody she visited. That's funny.
So it was a little bit. You know, I mean, I would. There were, you know, just like in wrestling, you've heard the term ring rats. There are women who will do anything and follow the wrestlers around. There's a group of bodybuilding groupies that, you know, certainly that existed at Gold's Gym Venice that would basically do anything for these guys. You know, I got to know a few of them. And, of course, I had to warn the guys because back in those days, maybe it's true now, you know, safe sex is an issue because of HIV.
Sure.
So, and unfortunately, I knew a few people that had died of that. So I had to warn the guys, you know, in spite of the fact that Venice and Santa Monica looks like a small city, you're in a city of 11 million people. It's greater LA. And it may not look scary, but it is.
It's funny. I spent a lot of time there, but I wasn't even into physical culture at that point in time when I was dating my wife. She lived on Washington and Strong's Drive.
Oh, right. Well,
right across the street from the Baja Cantina. And I spent quite a long time there in Venice Beach. And I got my two oldest kids living in San Diego going to college, and I took my son to Los Angeles to introduce him to a bunch of friends of mine and relatives that he didn't know that were there. And I took him to Venice Beach. And, it's just an amazing thing. I mean, Venice Beach has been probably videoed, is in more movies, just that little strip there, right by Jody Maroney's Sausage Kingdom. Has been in more movies whenever somebody wants to show an image of like a kind of seedy, smarmy beach scene.
And well, my last house was about a block from that, from Jody Maroney's hot dogs, which, by the way, is the only safe place to eat on Venice Beach.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I was in, I don't know if it was the Atlanta airport. I was in an airport a couple years ago on traveling on business, and there was a darn Jody Maroney Sausage Kingdom in the airport. I was so shocked, and I was talking to the girl, and she said that she thought that that was the only other one besides the one in Venice Beach. I know he did try to do something. He has a great product. I mean, his Peking duck sausage, I mean, it's like it's the best sausage in the world. I mean,
you with the food. Ed, when we start talking about food, the Carl doesn't – he can't stop.
I'm one of those guys. I traveled on business all over the world, and I bookmark places by the meals that I had there.
I used to do it like when the guys would say, "Well, can we go to Denny's?" I said, "You know, life is too short for Denny's." it's good to have a good meal, and I would, you know, I'd work my 8, 10, 12-hour day and come back to the house and say, you know, who wants to eat, and we'd go find a restaurant and had many wonderful meals, you know, shared with these guys, and I think that's part of what life has to offer is sitting down together and breaking bread. And I guess that's maybe I hate to end on this note, but I mean that's the problem nowadays is I think guys and gals have lost the social aspect of eating out. That it's a wonderful chance to break bread together and share a meal, and not just stuff your face.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I used to tell the guy, I mean, I think, I won't name the bodybuilder, but I remember the first time I kind of got upset with where bodybuilding was going was I went out to dinner and he ordered 3 entrees. And I said, you know, excuse me? I mean, this is gluttony. This is sick. And he basically ate 2 and sent the 3rd one back. Well, that's not what I understand by eating out. You know, if you go out socially to eat with somebody and you know, if you don't get enough to eat, then you go back and you chug a protein drink, or you cook a dozen egg whites and eat that. But you don't order 2 entrees and just, you know, pig out at a restaurant.
I think there's almost a certain perverse like shock value to that. There's a lot of bodybuilders who will pride themselves on how they went to a restaurant and, you know, and they ordered 2 or 3 entrees and how everybody was shocked and watched them eat. There's almost a certain novelty to it, I think.
But you think that's sick. And, I mean, in fact, Chris Lund, who's Joe Weider's photographer, who was so loyal to Gold's Gym, and we had to build a studio in the gym for him. He was working for the Weider magazines in England, and he called me and said, "Ed, what do you think of the new crop of bodybuilders?" And I said, "Well, I think they're giant shitting machines." And in the old days at my house, they used to go through a roll of toilet paper every 2 days. Now they're going through a roll a day. And I really think these guys, a lot of them are you know, they don't have a life. And in fact, one bodybuilder just called me the other day, and he said, "Ed, something's ringing in my ears. You told me," he said, "that you don't want to be so obsessive that you lose family and friends." His girlfriend had just broken up with him. But if you're trying to eat 8 times a day and, you know, cook your food and eat that, how can you have a life? And it wasn't like that in the old days with Matt Mendenhall and Bob Paris and Mike Christian. You know, you had 3 meals and you filled in with these wonderful supplements that we now have. And you don't need to be a pig about eating. And you can't possibly utilize that much protein.
Right.
I've challenged guys to eat less and see if they really lose any weight. And most of, you know, I think all of them, I can't think of one that said, hey, you know, I think you were right. I didn't need to eat like that. So,
well, we are coming to the end of the interview, right, Carl?
Yes.
Ed, it was a pleasure having you on, man. We really enjoyed it, and we appreciate all your stories, and we'll definitely have to have you back on at some point in the future.
Well, keep up the communication, and I'm glad you're doing the work you are.
Are you still out in California, Ed?
I am. I'm in Rancho Mirage, which is about 135 miles east of Venice.
Sure, I know exactly where it is. Yeah, very cool, very cool. All right, well, thanks so much, Ed. It's and I
Ed,
hope
will
that
you be at the USA's this year?
I hope to. I may be actually moving there to work on a project for the Weeders.
Okay, wow. Well, we'll stay in touch, Ed. I'm going to be at all the shows, so I'm sure I'll get to see you soon.
Okay.
All right, thanks good a night, lot, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Bye.
All right, so now we're going to take a quick commercial break. Who are we going to have when we come back, Aaron? I forget.
Tim Gardner, the promoter of the PBW, Pro Bodybuilding Weekly Tampa Bay Pro.
Cool. Okay. Wait, the Pro Bodybuilding Weekly. So Pro Bodybuilding Weekly is the sponsor of the Tampa Bay Pro Show?
We will let Tim explain that. I know the answer, but I will let Tim explain that because that's the question I have.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising.
If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging is included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@Hotmail.com.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Topic Radio, and we are going to start with the shout-outs where Carl gets our next guest, Tim Gardner, on the line. So let me pull up these shout-outs. Number one is going with RX Muscle first, GX, JL Giller, our Countdown Man, Green Machine 23, Physical Therapist, Jason Newman, Genesis, MG659er, Alaska Muscle, probably in his cop car right now, Keith, Wolverine 565, This Is War, Bellissima, Manavis, Sweet Capri, KZ, Robert the Strongman, our artist, our very wonderful and appreciated artist, Kenny Cola. If you go to the off-topic section, not the show off-topic, but the off-topic section at RX Muscle, there's a thread on there by Maz. She has the great genius Kenny Cola, and it's got a whole thing of his artwork. The Big King, Leatherhead, thank you, Jeff, the producer, for putting up the thread. Not So, and Andre Gregori, Past Genetics, Stephanie Wicked, Fireblast, Matt O 8929, Rick Prince, Big Nut, Fatback Goal, Medium Extreme, thank you for your questions for Pulsing Radio, Medium. The Big Sexy, Jaundice McTitties, PJ Braun should be listening at some point, Big Dog 19, Maz 78, Jillian Rev.
Also, AWN 2004, who is, I want to say, no, I can't forget it. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. Anyway, I got thrown because I think I lost Aaron again here. We're having a problem again with technical difficulties with Aaron. But he's back. Go ahead, Aaron. Pick it up. Anybody else? Aaron? Okay. So, if it wasn't for technical difficulties, we wouldn't have any fun on the show at all. All right, so enough with the shout-outs. Let's go ahead. And you, Aaron, you want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, please? Aaron? I don't know what's going on with Aaron. Okay, this is wonderful. Anyway, okay. So our next Aaron, are you there? Aaron, please say you're there. I keep answering, Aaron, but you're not coming through for some reason. I don't know what the problem is. Hold on a second, everybody. I'm going to do something. Hold on 1 second. 1 second. We're going to get Aaron on the phone instead of over the internet here. Okay, here you go. Hold on a second. Okay, Aaron, are you there now?
Yes. I wonder, do I sound any different now that I'm on a phone?
No, you sound good. You're fine. Okay, why don't you introduce our next guest?
Yes. Our next guest is none other than Tim Gardner, the promoter extraordinaire of the Pro Bodybuilding Weekly Tampa Bay Pro Show. It's coming up in just a few short weeks. Tim, are you there?
I'm here, Aaron.
And you know why you'll never hear an off-topic sponsored show? Because Pro Bodybuilding Weekly doesn't have the technical difficulties we have. That's why. And there you go.
At least if they do, we never hear them. I don't ever
there
hear
you
any.
Go. There you go.
Yes. So, Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
I'm watching the Rays kick some Boston Red Sox booty.
Well, Tim, I wanted to start at the beginning, man. If I know everybody has probably heard your name before. You've been doing the promoting and helping athletes for quite a while now, starting with everybody knows you from Marcus Haley, helping him and everything. But I wanted to take us back a little bit, back to when you were competing. How did you get started in bodybuilding personally?
Well, I started lifting weights for high school football. I was kind of spoiled. I was pretty quick growing up. But once we got to high school, all my buddies got a lot bigger, and I'm thinking, you know, how can I offset the difference here? And it wasn't really an in vogue thing, if you will, to lift weights when I was coming up. And so basically, I got some cement weights and big old paint buckets and filled with dirt, and kind of just did my own thing. But Hoffman was around, so I was doing the Hoffman these wafer pills and. Or tablets, and just tasted like cardboard. But I just really got into it, and I did really well in school. So I had, I get my schoolwork done, and then I'd have a Strength and Health or an Ironman, Muscle Mag, and I'd be reading it after I did my classwork, And I even remember in high school where my friends would look over my shoulder and go, "You want to look like that?" And I go, you know? So I said, "I'm not sure, but I'm just very intrigued and I want to learn more, you know?" So anyway, fast forward, I was a typical guy at the gym. I'd do bench press and some curls and go to the beach or go to happy hour after my workout, you know, with all my gym buddies. I guess I got to be maybe 26 years old. I started going to some of the local bodybuilding shows, and I was very fortunate enough to see Sergio Olive compete in, or I mean, guest pose in Orlando, and then I was hooked. I'm sure everybody that's been to a bodybuilding show, they'd go, you know, they sit there, they've got their tight shirt on, and they go, "I could do that," you know, and so that was me. I kind of said, "Yeah, I could do that." And so my very first show, I competed in a local, the Tampa Bay Classic in 1988. I'm kind of dating myself here. But my very first show, I came in dead last. But, you know, I looked good for my gym, and everybody came and supported me. But, boy, did I have a lot to learn. You know, I was the kind of guy that I would go to the local health food store, and I made friends with the manager, you know, so I'd kind of stand by the counter. And as soon as somebody large would walk in, I'd trail them down the aisle, and whatever they would pick up, I would buy three. And, you know, I was in that mindset, more was better. And So I kind of just went through that. And, you know, I had great balance and shape, and but the conditioning part, I didn't put two and two together as when I was doing, you know, my own preparation. And it's come a long way. I remember, all the classic guys would say, "Oh, you got to eat steak and eggs, and you know, this is how we're gonna get ready for the show." And you know, we train all the way up to the show. And it's, things have evolved so scientifically since. But you know, long story short, once I realized that more wasn't better, and I started applying, you know, kind of analyzing and go, okay, what's going on my body now? So I think what I was doing, I was taking so many supplements that they were antagonistic to each other, or I was just excreting them out. And I was spending tons of money at the health food store, you know, and I was thinking, there's got to be a better way. So I went back to basics, and I kind of applied some principles of just sports in general, of being a fundamentalist. And by accident, I kind of learned that, you know, when you take out all the variables, there aren't any magic pills, otherwise everybody would be looking great, or, you know, any quick fix kind of lotions or whatever. I mean, I've heard of everything since, you know, I've probably been doing this through four decades, so I've heard of every kind of thing that you could apply, you know. But when I applied just fundamentals, that's when I started winning. I started winning in a local, a state, a regional, and then got to the national level. And so I finished 10 years later in 98 in Vegas at the USA's, and I made the top 10. I placed eighth.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And what weight class were you in, Tim?
I was a lightweight.
At what point did you start helping other athletes?
Well, I was kind of transitioning from my career job. I was in architectural structures, and so I did a lot of traveling. So as I was in the gym, I mean, these were days before laptops, and basically I'd be, you know, in a city, young business. I'd go to the gym, get my workout in, and there'd always be somebody that would say, "Hey, you know, you look great. What can I do to look like you?" And I would actually sit down, instead of going back to my hotel room, I'd sit down and just write everything out. And so that's kind of how it started. And then, of course, locally in Tampa, my workout partners would say, "Hey, I want to compete as well." And so we just kind of get them going. So unofficially, my coaching business started in 1995. Mm-hmm. I remember, actually, my first nutritional advice was in 1993 to a secretary of a CEO of a major glazing contract business in Clearwater, just a little bit west of Tampa. But I was so proud. I typed everything out. I didn't go to bed the whole night, and I rushed over to the office to give her little program for me, and I actually headed it, Body Tech Fitness Emporium, So when I handed it to her, I was just so proud, you know, because I was going to help the secretary lose a lot of weight. And she goes, how much do I owe you, Tim? And I go, owe me. And I said, geez. And, you know, let me remind you, I stayed up all night long, never went to bed. And I never thought it'd be, you know, a business. I just wanted to do it to help people. So I remember handing it to her and go, I don't know, just give me $10. So to start off with a $10 program in 1993, with a little Mrs. Marshall Butner, and to evolve to what, you know, Team Body Tech has materialized is something very special to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now Team Body Tech, as you told me, how many people are do you work with total?
We roster over almost 560 athletes right now,
wow.
Actively preparing for 2010 contest. We have over 100.
And you were telling me, I mean, one of the things that sets you apart from some of the other gurus or contest prep guys is that you actually take somebody from the very beginning, their very first contest. You don't actually search out clients.
No, I never solicit. I don't advertise. Everything is just referral business. I don't stand in the back of the auditorium at the show and go, come here, you know, I can make you a champion. I never do that. I can say I only did it one time, and you might remember Son Van Tran, that lived in Sarasota, Florida, but I only did it because he reminded me so much of myself. And I always said if I would have had somebody in my corner like myself, because when I was training, there weren't any coaches or gurus or anything, you know, so to speak of. So it was just kind of floundering and just trial and error kind of thing. And it's probably good, because I always say everything happens for a reason, but it's probably good that I did pretty much everything that I read in Muscle and Fitness and Flex and, you know, Ironman and down the, I mean, I really purchased every muscle magazine every month and I read everything. So I applied everything that I read and, you know, so it's probably good that I did that, because I can say I experienced most, you know, every kind of philosophy since.
You made all the mistakes yourself.
Well, at least I can say I experienced it. So,
right.
But Son Van Tran, I said, hey, you know, you remind me so much of myself. You just got to get conditioned. You got great symmetry. And he's Vietnamese. I'm Japanese. And he's the only one out of the 560 that I actually said, I can make you better. I can make you an improved athlete. And I did it because, I don't know, I just felt an automatic, immediate bond with him. He and I became best of friends. We're like brothers now. And you know, he's since moved from Sarasota to Atlanta, Georgia. And he's a big executive of Coca-Cola. But he surpassed everything, all my accolades that I did on a local, state, and regional. He mirrored as well as, end up, we pulled a top three at USA's. But what a great student. And heck, I could probably talk the whole segment about him during that prep. That prep, he got his master's degree. He coached his son's soccer team. And of course, he was an engineer at the time, and never complained one minute.
When you coach some of these guys, do you focus on making sure that you're balanced in life? Because it seems like, this gentleman here, and obviously you're a family man yourself, and mm-hmm. obviously, you know, you never were completely, totally focused on bodybuilding.
No, I knew even then, even through, I kind of call it my narcissistic stage of, you know, where I really enjoyed the way I was looking, and it was kind of full of piss and vinegar, if you will, but I always realized that there had to be balance. I mean, and I was in the corporate field, I had a lot of responsibility. Back then, you know, I was probably managing 35 million plus a year, territorial wise. And so, at the same time, my son, I was coaching in baseball and hockey. And, I always vowed, for personal reasons, that I would never miss my children's activities. I would never say I was too tired or I had to work. So, through the process, I kind of became a workaholic, but also I wanted to be the best dad there was. And it's kind of an oxymoron to be a committed national level bodybuilder, but somehow I managed to do so. And, it taught me about balance. So when I retired from competing, that's the first thing I would touch on is, you know, we need a solid support group. Your significant other, your husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, family. Don't alienate them through the process. You know, how we always take it out on the ones we love the most.
Sure.
So I kind of touch on, you know, without them, you're not going to have harmony, and everything's got to be perfectly balanced for you to be successful on the stage. And I've had a lot of, you know, national level and even some of my pros that go, that doesn't make any sense. I've got to be so focused for this. But eventually they do come back to me and go, Tim, you were so right, you know, about the balance.
Do you think a lot of that has to do with the fact that because of your Japanese upbringing or the culture that you may have been exposed to, the Eastern philosophy tends to believe in that yin and yang, that balance in life, that you can't just be monolithic and just focus on one thing. Do you think that that is where you learned this, or did it just come to you because you learned it in your own path in life?
Well, I wish I could say it was, it was through the culture, but I became quickly Americanized. My father, he's American, met my mother in Japan while he was in the Air Force, but they divorced at, I want to say I was probably 4 years old. So I didn't get the Japanese culture. I longed for it and researched it, that's kind of another story of being, as I grew up, I was kind of like the half-breed. So, and when I was growing up, the Japanese were the most hated. And without any affiliation, but a lot of people would look at me and think I was Vietnamese, of course. So the Vietnam War.
Yeah, you didn't have it. You couldn't get a break, could you?
So here it was, you know, I'm in the United States and I'm getting in fights after school because I hear, remember Pearl Harbor? And then I go to Japan, my dad would get stationed, you know, back in Japan, and I'd hear Nisei, that's second generation Japanese. So I'd fight there too. And Cher came out with a song back then called Half-Breed.
Half-Breed, so I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember I would just sing that but it was a life learning process, and it just made me stronger. And, you know, it just, maybe it was just an inherent trait deep down, but I can just say that growing up, I wanted approval from my teachers, so I really tried to apply myself academically, and I also wanted praise from my coaches. So I played a lot of football and baseball and a little bit of wrestling, but mainly football. And with football, being undersized, I had to prove myself, you know, 10 times over. And so I think that's where the blood and guts type of mindset came in. But not only did I want to belong, I wanted to be the best. So, and that kind of went on to everything else. And it's not like anyone was, you know, I didn't have parents that said, Tim, you've got to do this and you got to do your homework and you got to brush your teeth. And I never had any of that. I just kind of had, I want to make people proud of me. And so I would do it peripherally through my best friend's parents. Or like I said, my teachers and coaches. So it was just trying to excel and be the best, but also stand out in a positive way instead of being the Japanese kid.
Do you think, and not to belabor the whole Japanese Asian culture thing, but do you think that Asian bodybuilders, Japanese, Chinese, even Vietnamese, do you think that they genetically have things that they need to pay attention to differently than, say, European or American bodybuilders because of maybe polymorphisms about how they metabolize foods and stuff like that?
Well, maybe I think more with genetic structure that the Orientals are at a disadvantage. Typically, an Oriental is going to have a very strong trunk and legs and calves, but not so much the upper body. But as time has passed, the Oriental diet has changed the same and become more Americanized, yeah, if you will. So, you know, that's a big advantage for Hide. And you know, but I remember I would research, like, okay, you know, who's the Japanese star? And I think there's Alan Ichinose, but he was actually Hawaiian. And I'm drawing a blank, but there was only one other Japanese bodybuilder, and I apologize because he was a big inspiration to me, but he was the only one that actually made the national magazines, and but an older competitor.
Right.
It's amazing how good Hidetada's doing, huh?
Oh my gosh! I remember when he first came out. I want to say, Milos.
Yeah.
Milos was helping him, and I saw him backstage. I'm going, man, that could be like my brother. I'm trying to get Marcus Haley to, kind of laugh and go. I go, there's my brother. And this was at the Ironman, and of course he did the Sacramento the week after, and so I got to befriend him quickly before he became popular in the United States. And and then there was another connection, I guess being there out west in the shows, and they observed me with Marcus. We actually picked up some figure competitors because of our association of, being backstage. So,
sure.
So there's been some strong ties, with Hide and myself, and I'm very proud he's going to be hanging on to his diet to compete at the Pro Bodybuilding Weekly.
Right. Before we get to that, I wanted to ask you a little bit about Marcus. You took him from the very beginning. You said he was a novice competitor when you met him, right?
Well, I want to say he won like a local show in Vegas. Somehow he made his way to Florida. I'll never forget this day, but there was a friend that contacted me and said, hey, I want you to check this guy out and see if you want to work with him. And I said, well, I'll be at the Mid-Florida Muscle Classic. It's Deke Warner show. And I said, I'll be there prejudging, and if he's there, I'll look at him. And so as soon as he walked in, he looked like he could have been a guest poser for this Level 3 show in Florida. But he says, yeah, Marcus Haley, I know Sean Ray. I won a local show, but that's about it. What do you think? And I said, well, let's go in the restroom, and I'll just do a quick assessment,
Right.
So he goes to the restroom, and he drops his shorts, and I have him do some poses, and we ended up having probably 20-plus people just standing there. And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, you with a little bit of time and effort, time on the job, I said, you could really take this as far as you want. And we kind of went over, what my services entailed. And basically I said, even at that time, because I could tell that he was still easily distracted, Marcus had a reputation where he would work hard just the last 5 weeks, but I'd have to keep him away from Taco Bell and the crazy nightlife. But because of it, I became like a big brother or even a father image for him. And we bonded from day one. The show at Deke Warner show was in June. We prepped him for the Southern States, Peter Potter's regional show down in Fort Lauderdale in 2000. Yep, we went down there. He won the heavyweight class unanimously. That same year, Joel Stubbs, the Bohemian jet
pilot, and that's before the quad tears, right?
Yeah, the back was amazing, and I'm like, oh my gosh! But I remember we were getting ready to weigh in, and Marcus says, "I'm leaving." I'm going, why? He goes, "Look at that guy," and Joel just had his shirt off, and I said, "Wait a minute, he hasn't dropped his sweatpants." He drops his sweatpants, and nothing against Joel because I love him, but his legs didn't match his magnificent upper body. And I said, see, I said, that's how we're going to beat him. So as a coach, I'm trying to keep all the positive, energy into Marcus's head. Cause he was very paranoid,
right.
he didn't trust many people. So it took me a couple of years to earn that trust, but that was one of the first stepping stones of Marcus really believing that I'm not going to just tell him something. So he wins the heavyweight class unanimously. Everyone for the whole day, the judges, a lot of national judges there, a lot of media, they're saying, oh, it's between the heavyweight and the super. And so I had to keep him calm and kind of sequestered. And I said, it's going to be a battle. So Joel Stubbs won the super. And as it ended up, Marcus won the overall unanimously.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And then we went to the USA's, and he placed third, his very first time at the USA's.
Wow.
Yep. So that was a great year. Like I said, Marcus, I always told Marcus, I said, I care about you unconditionally. Bodybuilding is just just icing on the cake. But as long as you're happy, I'm happy, and that's the relationship we have.
Let me ask you, Tim, when he moved away, I mean, and now he's obviously, you guys aren't working together anymore. I mean, did that upset you? Did it hurt your feelings that he decided to move away?
No, actually, we made the decision. We made the decision at last year's Dallas Europa, and George Fair was sitting with Dennis James for breakfast, and so Marcus and I sat down, and it just kind of unfolded. You know, Marcus has been with me for close to 10 years, and I felt like he knew that if he just listened to every single thing I said, that he'd be great. You know, but I think what it was is he would just stretch my instructions and maybe not give 100%, and nothing against his efforts, but part of it is we had to go through all his rehabilitation with his knee, and
right.
Then trying to get the size back on the injured leg and get the sweeps back that he was, you know, so known for. So I think what it was is that he just needed a different approach, maybe someone that was just, I'm just your coach, this is all I'm going to say, and this is what you're going to do, or, you know, or that's it. Where he knew that I would, no matter what he did, whatever, you know, tirade he would throw or any crazy escapades that he would have, I'd always say, oh, okay, it's all right, Marcus, you know, woman, that's said and done, and let's just put our best foot forward tomorrow. So I suggested that he really needed a different approach, and not even within a day my prayers were answered, because George popped up, and we knew he was a disciplinarian, he was a fundamentalist, he was very analytical in instructions, he didn't do anything from the hip, or nothing just in a trial and error kind of basis. He really was more conservative, and that's what we wanted. So we planted the seed. I kind of planted the seed in Marcus' ear and said, "Hey, you know, what do you think?" And he was very emotional. He goes, "Oh no, I'm body tech for life," and it's the best thing, because he became so focused. And then the added bonus that he gets to go to Phoenix and train with Dennis James and Melvin Anthony, Troy Owls.
Right.
He gets around other pros that are not middle tier, but you know, upper tier, that, you know, and it just that kind of attitude became contagious, where it became a his standard of life, even at, you know, 5 months out and 4 months out, and not just, okay, it's 6 weeks out, I'm applying myself. And that's the best thing, to get, you know, around other people just like him.
Sure.
Because, of course,
they can push him.
Mm-hmm. But Tampa Bay Area, he was the biggest fish that they've ever seen, you know,
right.
So. You hear enough of that, and it's like, oh, I'm just going to catch a movie. Hey, I might have some popcorn. You know, let me swing by Taco Bell. You know,
right.
But we've had a great run. We talk all the time. You know, I don't miss an opportunity. If he's at a show, I'm at a show. Like, for instance, Chicago, where I had to judge the Junior Nationals. He was there for Metrics Worldwide. So, you know, we spent a lot of time just catching up, eating, and. Because that's all he does is eat now, and I couldn't get him to eat on a regular basis, you know. So he's looking large at 265 pounds, and
yeah, you look good. You look good.
Yeah, so it's all.
We're going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Pro Bodybuilding Weekly, Tampa Bay Pro.
So stay all tuned. Right. We'll be right back, and guess what? Aaron will not get disconnected this time.
Very special.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition. The Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@Hotmail.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Off Topic Radio. Our guest this hour is Tim Gardner.
Hey, Tim, let's start off talking about Pro Bodybuilding Weekly, Tampa Bay Pro. Carl asked a good question before you came on. He was wondering, Pro Bodybuilding Weekly, obviously that's Dan Solomon and Bob Ciccarello's radio show, and it was really the first bodybuilding radio show on the internet. How are they associated with you?
Well, basically, they are our title sponsor company. They're kind of like the Europa. Their only affiliation is the funding for the title, but I do all the promotional and marketing and all the nuts and bolts of the production itself.
How did you guys get started in this business arrangement?
Well, I think it was by coincidence where I had decided I want to put on a pro show. I put on the MPC Hurricane Bay and Typhoon Bay championships since 2000 in the Tampa Bay area, and through my travels, going to all the various levels of pro shows, being backstage, seeing how the athletes are treated. I said, this really isn't too far from what I'm doing on my amateur level, because I always try to make the Hurricane Bay a production in itself as well. And so when I want to say it was at Nationals or maybe the North Americans in 2007 that I asked for Jim Manion's blessing. And he said, Tim, I've heard nothing but great things about your amateur show. Why not? I'll have Teresa send you all the particulars of what's required of a promoter, review it, let me know if you want to. So I took about a week, and of course, I guess it kind of leaked out that Tim Gardner from Tampa is going to be putting on a pro show. And up until that point, Florida wasn't really a hotbed for professional bodybuilding. One individual, James Goad, did put on the Orlando, but I don't think it went over successfully. And so I think it kind of scared, other promoters. But the question
he actually, I got to say, Tim, he actually still owes Darren Charles money, right?
That's what I've heard. I don't know it.
I said it, not you.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. But I think at the same time that either Dan Solomon was considering being part of a group to put on an IFBB Pro show down in South Florida, or there was another party that was talking about putting on the show and putting on a show. So I want to say maybe around the holidays, I received a phone call from Dan Solomon, and he said, I understand you're going to put on a show. We were kind of thinking about doing something, but we just didn't know. But we don't know anything about promoting, so what do you think about us being your title sponsor? And I go, well, let me think about this, because at the whole time, and I really give full credit to Dan and Bob, so I'm always saying, no, it's the Pro Bodybuilding Weekly. But when we first launched the idea, I'm backstage at Olympia going, hey, we're going to have the Tampa Pro. So I think the Tampa Pro actually stuck, so we're doing a lot better with the moniker of Pro Bodybuilding Weekly is out there. But everything we do marketing is, we don't even mention Tampa anymore. It's just Pro Bodybuilding Weekly Championships. And I've got a main sponsor, actually new to the sports supplement arena. So the complete title is the IFBB Complete Genetic Defiances Pro Bodybuilding Weekly Championships. And then, of course, In conjunction, I have the NPC portion called the NPC Tim Gardner Extravaganza. But it's kind of like a marriage made in heaven right from the start, because I love what Dan does for the industry. He's such a historian that, it's a real treat to sit down with him, and he knows so much about the athletes, and he really gets, with the behind the scenes of each one. And then, of course, Bob, he's a legend in his own time, and he's done so much. He's one of the most diverse and talented individuals in our industry. So, I consider him iconic. So to have that in my corner, with their blessing, saying, hey, we're Pro Bodybuilding Weekly, this is Tim Gardner putting on the show, come everybody come and enjoy it. It's made for a great relationship.
Tim, give us an idea of what it requires to put on a show of this caliber. Your show is known for, Dave told me, a lot of people told me how great it is, how great your show is, and how well you treat the athletes and everything. What does it require to do a show like this?
I think the most important ingredient is the venue. And of course, with my attitude, I want it to be the best there is. I went out and got the largest, plushest, most updated performing arts venue. It's if you haven't seen it, it's very special, especially for an athlete to stand on that stage and look, at the orchestra pit and in the box seats. There's 24 box seats that look down from three different levels, the mezzanine, and the balcony, it's just something special. So I knew I had to have a venue that people would want to come back to. I mean, just the pump up room alone is over 3,000 square feet and fully mirrored from floor to ceiling. I knew I had to have accommodations. I knew that I had to have a plush host hotel. So I tied it in with the Grand Hyatt of Tampa Bay. So it's a two-towered hotel that's right on the bay. So it gives a tropical feel. So it's almost where the athletes can bring their family and have a mini vacation, and celebrate after the show. So I knew the host hotel, the venue were the most important thing. And then, of course, the financing, because I really do all this on my own. And I don't have a team, calling the sports supplement companies or clothing companies and say, hey, will you want to be a part of Tim's show? It's all me that I start pretty much from the day after, the week after our show ends. I'm already, trying to make more contacts and get people to be on board, for a long period of time. So all those efforts, to get recognizable sponsorship, you know, and to do all this through the recession was very difficult. But I just felt like I was kind of carrying a torch for the athletes, where you know, I've got to make this work, and I kind of applied the small business plan model, where you know, the first 2 years you don't really make a lot of money anyway. So
right.
You actually told me,
and I think this is why a lot of these pro shows end up going away, is because people don't account for this. You plan to lose money. I mean, you knew the first year you're going to lose money.
Oh yeah, we all knew that I was going down in a blaze of glory that first year. You know, because I think people are just kind of sitting back, going, "What's this Tim guy going to do down in Tampa?" You know, and so I lost a considerable amount of money, but I knew that it would continue to get better because. It was kind of like my conversation that very first year, that inaugural year, was that all the athletes stayed and thanked me, and the countless emails and phone calls, and I know that doesn't really happen. Maybe the winner, you know, because of course they're in your euphoria, but I mean, for every athlete, you know, and to take time to send a card or a gift and I said, you know what? I'm going to make this work one way or the other, and just kind of just stay persistent. And the second year we broke even, and already the third year, my host hotel is completely sold out for Saturday night, and it's a 5-star hotel with over 500 units. And so to think that, you know, we're going to have that kind of attendance, I'm really looking forward to seeing how the seats are going to fill.
Yeah, I know I'm looking forward to going. So, so tell us, give us a little bit of a rundown. We talked earlier about this, and we don't have a whole lot more time. I wanted to touch on the contracts. You know, athletes are not required to turn in the contract up until what, 7 days before the show?
Yeah, 1 week prior. And I've spoken to Bob Ciccarello, as the athletes' representative, and said, hey, you know, what can we do to? It's only going to help the sport if the athletes make a commitment, say a minimum of 6 weeks out, and it really behooves them, because we're actually marketing them as the athletes, saying, hey, they're going to be in Tampa to compete at the Pro Bodybuilding Weekly. You know, come see them. You know, make your plans now, and don't try to, you know, when the athlete sends it in the last week, and then, you know, their fans can't even come because the hotel sold out. You know, so they can't enjoy all the festivities that, you know, everything that I do at the host hotel. You know, I from the airport, I shuttle everyone at our expense to the host hotel. We do motor coaches to the venue and that's all on me. And I just want all the athletes to rest. I do a bodybuilding friendly menu with the chef. I design the ounces and of the meats and the carbohydrates, the vegetables. I completely designed that to where the athlete can be assured that everything is without salt, oil, or butter, and everything's cooked fresh. We do the Meet the IPB Pros Athlete Media Conference. That's something very special. I actually recognize every athlete themselves, the country where they're from, and I showcase them in their own individual seats. And after registration is done, the weigh-in for the 202s, we do a nice kind of forum with each discipline, the open competitor, the open men, the open women, the 202 men, and now with the open bikini. And then we finish the event with a Q&A from the fans. Last year, I want to say we had about 250 fans that attended, and that was Friday afternoon. So we do a lot of little extra. I'm known for my banquet that I put a nice spread out for the athletes backstage, and it's pretty much a full course meal of everything you think of eat. Plus we do cakes and desserts for the athletes as well, and just to make them feel a little extra special, you know.
Wow, sounds great.
Hey, I just want to just break in here for a second, Aaron. You know,
sure.
What would really be interesting, and I know that there's a lot of logistics that would have to go into this, especially because of the equipment, but it would be great to be able to have people at their seats. You know how they have the people meters, like in Oprah will say, you know, how many people here think this, and then 60% of the audience says A, and to actually have buttons that people can press to vote for the athlete at the night show when they're performing instead of it just being applause related?
That would be nice. We'd have to think of a system, but I'm thinking now with all the modern technology that it could be, you know, wireless.
Wireless. But the problem, that's what I was saying, but the first problem with wireless is the little wireless devices would grow feet and you would lose 90% of them probably. you know, I was actually thinking if you could get the wireless buttons and put them in the tops of girls' swimsuits, right where their nipples are, and have like them walk around and, hey, I want to vote, and you press her nipple, and that, you know.
I guess you're just throwing
the idea, Carl.
I know. I know. You know what it is? I started talking about this, and then somebody, the TPT, the physical therapist, actually posted a picture of a girl, and I was looking at her while I was thinking of this, so my intellectual mind and my horny mind kind of clashed there for a second. But no, really, if people could vote instead of just applauding and have that weigh in, you know what I mean? Like, the, really have the people's champ. And call it the people's champ. There you go.
People's champ, you know? We always try to be very innovative and be on the cutting edge of all the new ideas. So, Carl, we may have to talk to you about implementing that in upcoming Pro Bodybuilding Weekly championships.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You know what you do? Put my face on the button. So every time somebody has to press a button, they squash my face underneath it. That's all.
Oh, my God.
Well, Tim, tell us the date of the show, the information, where to get the information for it, and so that in case anybody hasn't made plans to go yet and they'd like to, they can find out the information.
Yep, we're under 2.5 weeks out from July 16th, 17th weekend in Tampa, Florida. The website is pbwproshow.com. It's complete details of the schedule of events, Friday, Saturday. We're going to have a post-contest after party at the Whiskey Joe's. They're going to stay open until 3 o'clock for us.
Ooh.
Full menu, DJ, dancing. There's a beach deck. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to all the energy and having the NPC athletes as well at the Tim Garner Extravaganza. I couldn't be any prouder.
Tim, how close is the after party location to the hotel?
It's in walking distance, so everyone can have a lot of fun.
Oh, good, good, good. I'm really looking forward to it now. So, Tim, if somebody wants to get in touch with you personally about possibly working with you as a contest prep guru, how do they get in touch with you or coach? Do you prefer guru or coach?
No, Marcus used to call me the guru, but I just kind of like coach.
Yeah,
maybe from a football background, but I just love being coached but anyway, you can reach me at teambodytech.com. We're so lucky that all the networking and Facebook and the internet. But like I said, I'm very blessed that I was able to resign from the corporate world at a very young age and start a second career with my passion, because not a lot of people are fortunate enough to love what they do. You know,
and you learning. Also, Tim, you also have a gym business and a vitamin business. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, we have Body Tech Fitness Emporium, and we've launched out a 24-hour access facility called the Body Tech Express. And so I'm in the midst right now of getting with the franchise attorney and putting together, trying to put 6 or 8 Body Tech Expresses throughout Central Florida. The vitamin company, I've been a distributor for Everly International since 2000 for the state of Florida, and that business is called Vitamart. And of course, we had the production company with putting on the Pro Bodybuilding Weekly, the Tim Garner Extravaganza, and the Hurricane and Typhoon Bay. So I keep quite busy as the year goes on.
two things. Yeah. Two things I want to. First of all, you're in Indiana, aren't you?
Indiana,
no,
Florida.
So, oh, you're in Florida. Okay.
Have you been listening to the interview, Carl?
No. I'm sorry. I thought he was in Indiana. I apologize. Listen, MG659er just came up with the solution to the voting. No. Listen, it's fucking ingenious. You okay. Just like they do for, how do you vote from home for Dancing with the Stars, right? You dial the phone.
Text.
Okay. Text. Everybody has a cell phone. You allow one text from each phone number. For the posing routine that they like, and you have them text in, you don't need any equipment.
I wouldn't mind doing a people's champion. I really, I'm going to look into that. It may be a little too late to do for this year, but if we can do like American Idol, you know, text in.
Yeah, text in who you want. Yeah, instead of just applauding, text a 1 to 14413, you know, text a 2 to 14413.
Carl, I wonder if there's a service that you can actually pay.
I'm sure. He's going to have to look into. I'm sure if you call the cell phone carrier, they'll tell you who you get hooked up with, that they'll give you that. You know, text your choice to 43212 right now. And, you know, one is Marcus Haley and two is so-and-so. And, you know, I mean, there you go. MG659er. He's the fucking genius here.
Yeah, we're going to look into that because, again, that's going to bring more popularity and the curiosity of who's the people's choice. You know, does it coincide with what the judges see for the night? And we can have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I like this. This is good. Yeah. This is good.
I love that idea.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Tim. We're going to have you back in the future, man. I know we have a lot of other stuff we could talk about, and so we'll definitely have you back, and thank you very much for coming on, man.
Aaron, thank you for having me.
Thanks, Tim.
I look forward to seeing you in just 2.5 weeks.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to roll out the red carpet for you, so be
I'm
ready.
I'm so fucking jealous. You know, Aaron gets to go everywhere. I don't go. I just have sit in this fucking studio. Tonight, they turn the lights off. I just sit here and stare at the wall until the day starts tomorrow. You believe that shit?
Get a ticket. We'll get you a room.
Okay. All right. I will. All right. Listen, Tim, thanks a million for coming on the show. Also, we want to thank Ed Connors for coming on and sharing all those really great stories about back in the day at Gold's Gym in Venice. Interestingly enough, you and him have something in common. You're both in the architectural business. How do you like that shit? And, of course, thanks to the listeners for making the show what it is, because if you guys weren't out there listening, it would just be me and Aaron talking to ourselves. So there you go. All right, we'll see everybody next week with another episode of Off Topic. Good night, Aaron.
Good night, Carl. Thank you, Tim.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a great night.
For Nigel, has this future in our British steel?